All right, ramblers, let's get rambling. Hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Cyberverse podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
McAdams Road, take me home to the place where I belong. I'm David.
Huh. And that's right, this is possibly the first ever Transformers cartoon named after a bar, which they kind of don't call a bar here.
Yeah, they're really treating it a little more like a club, but it's a bar.
Yeah.
You know, this is what happens when you have British media involved at all. You let the Brits get involved for 5 seconds, and now suddenly there's a pub.
That's true. Those people just live at the pub.
What age is this meant for? Irrelevant. There's going to be a pub.
Well, the McAdams bar goes back far, 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 which we will probably spend most of the episode talking about.
Because not a whole lot else happens here.
Well, this more kind of happens of... I have more notes for this episode than I have for any other episode. Most of them are all sides, but...
Yeah, so this is the 10th episode of Cyberverse, Season 1. First aired on TV, November 3rd, 2018. Hard to believe this is 6 years ago.
It aired first in Canada.
That's correct.
Ooh.
As did, like, most of this show and...
Well, what often happens is that they start running in Canada, and then unlike the States, they don't break, and then they keep running it until somebody from the States notices, and then they tell them to stop.
Yes, well, yeah. Because Cartoon Network airing is... was bumpy as fuck for a while. I don't know.
Yeah, I think this was in, like, the coveted 4:30 in the morning spot.
Yeah, or they would just dump, like, 4 episodes at a time.
Yeah, well, you know, our key demographics, insomniacs, insane people, night shift workers.
Yeah, well, totally who is watching Nickelodeon or Cartoon
Weirdo
Network.
Weirdo shut-ins.
Yes. Yay, it's me! People watching GoBots. Same people watching GoBots at 4 a.m. now.
Listen, you are far too outdoorsy to count as a shut-in.
People who are just up late at night watching Adult Swim anime and the Inuyasha song started playing and they didn't turn off the TV.
Back when I used to keep very late hours, kind of. Oh, shit. Ah, why am I having audio problems tonight? No, don't.
Don't know.
Don't do that. Sorry.
I don't know. I'll have a cookie.
It just suddenly decided it wanted to try to use my phone microphone against all common sense or...
Nuts?
I'm getting yelled at by a kitten. Yeah.
Well, I thought that was a bird.
Back when I used to stay up much too late, sort of on my own devices, at 4 a.m. was when the A-Team came on. This, like... Mm-hmm. Retro old stuff channel in like 1999, and I knew that when the A-Team came on, it was time to go to bed.
That's Mr. T telling you it's time to go to bed.
Yes. Yeah, when Cyberverse comes on, go to bed. Go on.
So this is written by Zach Atkinson, frequent Cyberverse contributor, last seen in these parts, writing Memory, the second ever episode. And prior to this, several episodes of Rescue Bots and Robots in Disguise.
Yay!
So we're Bumblebee and Windblade, once still running from the Decepticons.
They're in space!
In this stolen scout ship.
Yeah. Flying around a donut or a space bridge.
Is that a space bridge?
I don't know exactly what it is. I think so, yeah. I think it's a space bridge.
What else would it be?
I don't know. They
but
don't.
They're not really. It's
clarify.
Not commented upon here.
No, it's just there's a ring in space. It looks all techy, and they're chasing each other around it. It is not relevant to the plot somehow.
Nope.
No.
But instead, Bumblebee decides to pull an Elon Musk here and ejects himself in car mode into space.
Good job. Good job.
It's kind of an interesting action scene that completely ignores all laws of physics.
Oh, yes.
Because he jumps out, goes backwards, lands on the Seeker's ship, shoots that, jumps off, and somehow gets back in the original shuttle before it enters atmosphere.
Yes. At the very least, they could have animated, like, I don't know, little rockets on his feet or something.
Nope. Physics is for cowards.
Because otherwise, I'm pretty sure this is how George Clooney died in Gravity.
Oh.
R.I.P. George Clooney in Gravity.
Spoilers.
The movie came out like 15 years ago.
Yeah, and I didn't watch it because I don't like heights.
I thought it was fantastic. But yes, if you're not crazy about heights, not recommended.
Yeah.
Or 3D.
You know, the whole
part. It's
probably
not that good outside of 3D.
You know, that whole part in Cloverfield where they go up into the tower that's leaning over? And I, like, have to, like, watch that very carefully.
How about the scene in where they do that in Dark of the Moon, except it's about half an hour long?
Yeah.
it is just done not as well. For some reason, there's a giant metal worm.
The POV part.
Yeah, there's a big worm. Everybody's yelling all the time.
Does make it worse.
Anyway, this does somehow work, and they get back to Earth, and they find a mountain that kind of looks like Bumblebee.
For some reason.
They say that. It kind of does. It made me think more like a bulkhead, because it has, like, a rock jaw.
Well, it's got little horns, though.
Sort of, but not really. I don't know. I wouldn't have called it Mount Bumblebee. It looks like a robot face. Yes.
One Transformers episode where the Decepticons have a giant secret base that's a mountain shaped like a Decepticon symbol.
Yeah, or the episode where Starscream and some triple changers shoot their faces into a mountain.
Also that.
Yeah. Is that Triple Takeover? I love Triple Takeover.
Yes, it is.
It's so dumb.
It is.
Our 300th episode.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Where Blitzwing's going to do the long bomb.
So many good little lines. You're either lying or you're stupid. I'm stupid.
Anyway, Bumblebee does reveal that he remembers a little something, because he remembers McAdams, the Transformers bar.
Yeah.
Now I know how to pronounce McAdams.
Which,
yes.
It's
McAdams.
This dates back to the UK comics. Jen, I think, can explain it better.
Yes. As I said, if you let British writers be involved with anything for 5 minutes, there will be a pub, regardless of the target age group of the material. Mm. Back on Cybertron, there was what they called an old oil house. It was McAdam's old oil house. The Wreckers would hang out there sometimes when they needed to have a story where the Wreckers were just kind of hanging out. Dreadwind and Darkwing got in trouble there one time. It was, for a long time, it was like one of those sort of apocryphal fandom things where, like, if you know, you know. So once it started getting pulled into more stories, it's, you know, definitely more common knowledge now, but it used to be one of those very, like, ooh, I've seen episodes of Victory kinds of things.
Yeah, it was a good quick reference to, oh, you read some UK comics.
But yeah, it was just an establishment for drinking. How the drinking happened? Question mark. These things... Just as I've said in the past, that the important thing I think about the Transformers that sets them apart from a lot of stuff is that they're just people, and a lot of times if you just let them be people and don't bother trying to explain it, it's usually for the best storytelling wise. Don't get bogged down. Repeat to yourself, it's just a show. You should really just relax. There was a panel one time that had, I want to say this was related to a holiday story, but the Constructicons were, like, holding beverages. One of them has a mouth plate, and somebody asked the letters page about this, and the answer, Smith asked how he drank, and the answer was he manages. So it did end up getting pulled into some stories. There's a story in the Transformers Legends. Some kittens are playing a little too rough. Settle down, guys.
Oh, goodness.
It got pulled into the Transformers Legends anthology in the Prime Spark story as kind of a multiversal nexus. It started out as literally just like this neutral bar. And it ended up getting ascribed all of this metaphysical importance. I think probably because, like I said, it had this sort of apocryphal sheen of being from that fiction that not everybody is lucky enough to know about. Yes. So it was like a multiversal nexus sometimes, and I recently read the Aligned novels. And it shows up, and McAdam himself shows up in the third one of those, but in that case, he's just, you know, running an underground establishment in Decepticon-occupied Iacon. He is not a great figure of metaphysical import. He's just a bartender.
And I will also note that ridiculous... Prime Spark story in is a total ripoff of the Captain's Table Star Trek books.
Yeah.
Which are about a multi-dimensional bar where all the captains from Star Trek meet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which isn't there's Tales from the Floating Vagabond, which is an RPG that has the same premise. Like it's
definitely got some repeated Callahan's Cross Time Saloon vibes.
Oh yes. Yeah.
That was the other one I was trying to think of.
Or the bar from Grimjack?
Yeah.
Grimjack.
But...
That was like an 80s independent comic.
Prime Spark, I say this having, you know, in somewhat recent memory, gone through the Legends anthology with a fine-tooth comb in order to put together that EPUB version of it. Which you cannot get to at the moment because archive.org is now. But if you go to trickstersworkshop.net, it is still available there. It's not a great story. But it is, you know, it does have McAdams as a multiversal nexus.
And then it also comes up in that Transformers Ultimate Guide that I believe Furman wrote.
Yes.
And,
which I actually just got another copy of. I had it, ooh, and then it ended up getting purged with a big purge of books. And someone on Blue Sky had just been selling off some stuff and had a copy of that. So I picked that up, and it just, like, arrived yesterday.
Ooh.
I could go grab it out of the other room and look up that page, but I will not, because we do not need that kind of sidetracking.
No, there is some cool Guido art there.
Mm-hmm.
But and that's also the origin of the what is stated there is a rumor that the owner is a member of the 13 Primes, which is, I believe, confirmed in this episode, kind of.
Or something or other, anyway. But like I'm wondering where the hell the multiversal bar came up first. But it makes a lot of sense, presumably it was a UK writer that came up with it, that you wander in a bar, get so drunk you come out in a different dimension. Makes a lot of sense.
This is entirely possible.
Anyway.
Gotta go down to the Winchester.
But we do see him in person here.
Yeah. Once we get into the bar.
This is the first time he has shown up in person in a cartoon.
Yes. Hmm. And he is, of course, named McAdam, which makes him one of the few Transformers named after a person.
Yeah. Though also... Americans and others on this side of the Atlantic may not be aware, but that is actually McAdam is spelled slightly differently, is a term for a type of road surface in the UK.
Oh, yes.
So it does still manage to be a vehicular pun.
Yes. No, I'm just saying that the road surface is named after a person.
Yes.
Yeah, the guy who came
up
with
it. So it's named after a person in a radical way, much like the Insecticon Shrapnel.
Shrapnel was a person?
It was invented by Sir John Shrapnel.
Huh.
This is some Earl of Sandwich nonsense here.
Exactly.
Yeah, but like being called McAdam is like being called oil and stone or something. Tarmac. Tarmac's actually a better
robot. It is a bit like Tarmac, but also it sounds like a name of a guy who would run a pub.
Yeah.
If the fussing gets to be too much, I can relocate.
Anyway, and they're you know, so they go to this bar, and it turns, this is taking place right after the episode Cube.
Cube!
Which means that, apparently, Bumblebee's antics at that game made SportsCenter.
Yes. Which, I mean, fair.
Considering, like, how many models we see in the bar, and McAdams is a new one, everyone else, I think, is somebody we've seen before, except maybe... Do we see Acid Storm before? Although we've seen the Seeker body before.
We have seen Acid Storm.
Yes.
I forget which
I guess the
gender was in this episode.
Yes.
Because Acid Storm keeps changing.
The notable thing here is that... well, I guess we do see one person we hadn't seen before, and that is Deadlock.
Yes. Who does get named later as Deadlock.
Yes.
Soon to be Drift.
You'll recall that is the guy who will eventually be Drift.
I was very excited the first time I saw this. Because we had just had an entire series about the wrong version of Drift. The more movie-inspired Robots in Disguise one. So I was glad to see a comic-inspired one. And,
yes.
Yeah. So, we see Deadlock.
Yeah, this is definitely taking a lot from the IDW comics of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of, we also see Windblade here, who is in here with her pal Chromia, who wants her to go back to Kamenas.
Yeah, we are definitely drawing a lot on the IDW stuff here, which is nice. Not in a way, I feel like it's not in a way that feels obnoxious. Like, it doesn't feel too referential. It just feels like, you know... We accept that this is a good established version of this character in this story.
Yeah.
Yep. Sure is Deadlock defecting.
And
yep.
Grimlock is in there telling tales as if he's Cup, which is still weird since he has that mid-Atlantic accent.
And then Soundwave.
Megatron Prime are pals.
They're definitely
They're on
gifts.
A date!
There's definitely gifts of Soundwave coming in and hijacking the sound system to do a little dance routine.
I think that might have been the first thing I ever saw of this series.
Soundwave.
It might be a little more impressive if they had some sort of music budget on this.
Yeah. They could at least get some Cold Slither or something.
Because he's just dancing to generic background music.
Yeah.
Some cheap techno or something. Mm. Rave music. I don't know.
Something that isn't obviously just the rest of the background music.
Yeah.
On this show.
Something with nz, nz, nz.
Exactly. And Shockwave and Wheeljack are building these weird little mini Shockwave things.
Making them do a little dance. Yeah, everybody's... They're definitely driving home that this is before the war and everyone was still friends.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then Hot Rod and Shatterstrike are sort of arguing about sports.
Yes.
And again, in a very sort of generic way.
Sport. I mean, Cube is pretty generic.
This is true.
They only understand generic sport on Cybertron.
Mm-hmm. So, they see McAdam and he's like, hey, are you guys hiding in a cave? Oh, wait, no, that's different. I'm unstuck in time.
Yeah,
McAdam is
saying things referring to the situation that they are actually in rather than, like, the present day them that are viewing this memory.
Yeah, it's really neat. It
is uncanny. It's definitely like,
feels like a Doctor Who gimmick, kind of.
I mean, it also kind of made me think of the Once and Future King.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With
Merlin.
And, the Sword and the Stone, where Merlin sort of experiences life backwards sort of. Yeah.
Yeah, there's something going on with him that could mean he's a prime. It doesn't explicitly say he is a prime in this episode, other than the rumor that he is a prime. But something weird with him temporarily is going on.
Yes. I don't know if it's ever actually confirmed here. He did get a toy, which was a Build-A-Figure.
Yeah. Huh.
I believe it's generally for somewhat obvious reasons. I think it's generally proposed that he is Alchemist Prime.
Mm. Well, because he's mixing drinks. Yes, that's why everyone assumed that. Yes,
because he's mixing drinks.
And Alchemist is usually sort of a round boy.
Yes. All right, so we flash back to the present. Bumblebee pulls up another memory, and this time it's a little later. Things are a little tense in the bar as, we're now good guys and bad guys. Deadlock is trying to defect.
Yep, he sure is.
And Megatron busts in. He's going to blast Deadlock, but no, instead, Captain tells him to stop, and then transforms entirely in shadow into something like bizarre and horrifying.
With a lot of like clockwork noises. Like there's a lot of clockwork clicky noises to his transformation.
And shadows that are big gears and things.
Yes.
As if he's transforming into Vector Prime or something.
He's definitely there's
the last Autobot.
Definitely like a steampunk flavor to what's going on with him. Which is cool. Mm-hmm. He's cool. I've got his arm around here somewhere.
So that, and also at some point we're talking about people putting telling people to shut their oil holes, which just sounds gross.
That does sound gross.
So now we get back, and this time he's like, we are once again remembering that MacAdam was like, "Hey, well, that's pretty impressive considering you just took down a Decepticon shuttle." Because again, unstuck in time.
And they're like, what now? But yes, in present day them is like, MacAdam was referring to things that have happened now. That's extremely strange.
So we now flash back again. This time, you know, Bumblebee can't talk. The city is all blown up.
It's very sad.
MacAdam somehow still open. And, he's not... He's sticking around at Cybertron, and so is Windblade. But, hey, you guys, you will always be BFFs. And also, to find the Ark, you need to find the King of the Dinosaurs.
You know, dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs? I thought you were supposed to build Dinobots! Wait. Anyway, so that is... that is the end of the episode. That is because they need to find the King of the Dinosaurs, but first they need to find out what a dinosaur is.
Yes. Mm. There's a moment there, like, what's a dinosaur?
Which, I don't know, you would think that probably would have absorbed enough, like, TV and radio and movies to figure out what a dinosaur is.
Yeah, you should have watched a monster movie or something. It's like, oh yeah, now we need to find Godzilla.
Close.
And that is the episode. So now we move on to the next one. And let me tell you, I can't stand it. I know you planned it. I'm gonna set it straight this Watergate. Because I'm telling all y'all, it's a sabotage.
Yes.
Oh, there's a great bit in that that G.I. Joe versus the Transformers comic where it's the one where they go through time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bit where they're in the 70s and they're confronted by some federal agents who are obviously just the Beastie Boys from the Sabotage video.
Oh! Well, I need to reread that now.
Sure.
But no, this one first aired in the USA November 10th, 2018. It is the 11th episode. And it was written by Dan Salgarolo.
I will say where last episode like established a lot of stuff, this episode is super fillery. Like, you could just not... Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You could skip this episode. I'm sorry, but you could skip this episode.
Yes. Well, he's going to go on to write a bunch of Cyberverse. He's previously written one episode of Robots in Disguise, and that was The Golden Knight. That's the one where they go to England and
Yeah, that was a fun one.
Yeah. And it's also very much, oh, hey, there's a movie where there's a bunch of dragons coming out with like Transformers in it.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea of this episode isn't bad. It's just that it doesn't seem to have enough plot for its short runtime.
No. I mean, a lot of these are just, there's somehow not enough plot for 10 minutes, but it has potential to be, you know, a regular half hour TV.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah, I think I brought this up previously. It's like asking a writer of a 22-page comic book to write an 8-page comic, and that doesn't always work.
Yeah.
No.
It's a slightly different set of skills.
Truly, the Marvel Comics Presents 8-pager is a lost art.
The backup story.
So we're on Cybertron. Cut to Shockwave, who we haven't really seen in the present before.
Oh, wait. I forgot to mention the little emoticons that are on the
that's right.
YouTube version. Last episode, it was musical notes.
Uh-huh.
This episode, it's the scream face.
Oh. Well, that is appropriate.
Or at least as much as smiley face can do a scream.
Man, if Shockwave is just doing this via, like, Ghostface-esque prank calls...
Earlier today, I saw a picture of Shockwave with, like, a smiley face as his eye.
Oh,
that's
no.
Upsetting.
That's weird.
It's funny, but, like, wrong.
I do still have a deep appreciation for Shockwave's angry eyebrow.
Oh.
Well, we are starting to get some of that this time, because he is angry eyebrowing it up as he is planning to use his cortical psychic patch to get into Bumblebee's mind to show him what he truly is.
Because
yeah.
He can hack from one ship to another Seeker ship that they stole.
This is some extremely
plugged into Bumblebee.
Bad infosec here. Like, you need to have firewalls if you're going into somebody's head. You should not be connecting...
Well, yes.
...the Nemo surgery to the internet. It should not
no.
be... It should
well, yeah,
be...
You shouldn't be connecting it to an enemy vessel that you're currently inside.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is one of those...
Because it just makes the cyberpunk hacking way easier.
Maybe it's like an AI thing where you don't actually have enough processing for it unless you connect to an external thing. But it just... This is a security flaw. This is an extremely bad security flaw when you're dealing with going into people's heads.
Hmm.
Well, so the Decepticons, and they're evil, so I assume they have one of those things. It's like one of those video games where you always have to be online.
Oh, yeah. That's the worst.
Always on.
Ugh. Listen, I'm sorry, you gotta be online or you can't get into your OneDrive, guys.
It's the worst. The cloud was a mistake.
So, you know, they're Bumblebee and Windblade, they're holed up in the bee cave, they're trying to get into... Bumblebee's mind palace to find out who the king of the dinosaurs is. But unfortunately, Shockwave is in there, and he's kind of pulls that thing where, like, the vision puts his hand through a guy and then just solidifies it enough to knock him out.
Yes. But he does that with Windblade's memory projection.
Yes, so
it's a mental projection.
He takes it over and replaces her, but is not able to fully mimic her speech patterns. Perhaps Shockwave is not the best guy to do this.
Yeah,
was really funny. That was really funny how he's like, because we are friends.
He's just,
I mean, it's still her voice, but yeah,
yes.
Not.
She's just playing so deadpan. It's like, this is very wrong.
Not talking like a person would talk. Talking like a Shockwave would talk.
Yeah, so he's all, hey, why don't we check out your memories?
Hey, look at this one I just found.
That I totally didn't just invent.
And it is indeed a memory of Bumblebee being totally evil and being a traitor to the Autobots, where he kills a bunch of his pals, yes.
Got deep fake memories. Man, this is... Okay, so it's not played as being super heavy, but I am distressed by a place where someone can hack into your brain and plant deep fake memories. It's not okay.
Yeah, it's like this episode, it's a good cyberpunk idea that was only sort of poked at lightly.
I mean, it just makes me think of all those, like, Larry Hama Wolverine comics where he has, like, memory implants.
Yeah! Hmm. I mean, it's very Total Recall, but also, like, that's mostly voluntary. The whole point of that is that it's a thing that you do because you want these fake memories, not because someone put them in your head.
Or did he want those memories?
No!
If I'm not Quaid, then who the hell am I?
It's a good movie.
Great movie.
That taxi.
I love that it's this sort of like kind of cerebral, like memory, reality bending thriller, but also the human body has the consistency of plasticine in that movie, so people are just constantly dying in various hideous ways.
Yes.
Yes.
See what the party, Richta.
It's just a Schwarzenegger action horror movie, but also, like, it's serious sci-fi.
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely tell that Cronenberg was at one point attached to direct.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you mean because, like, the guy growing out of the other guy?
And the guy with, like, the weird head vagina.
Yeah.
The guy who turns out to have, like, weird bug arms.
Yeah.
Bug? I don't remember the bug
arms. You know, that's Benny. The cab driver?
Yes. I should go back and watch that.
Guess I need to rewatch that movie.
Benny, screw you! And then he kills him with a giant drill.
I should go back and rewatch that movie.
Hey, man, I got 5 kids to feed.
Is that also the Johnny Cab?
Yes.
That's on Mars. The Johnny Cab is on Earth.
Yes.
You're in a Johnny Cab.
But it is in that movie.
Yes. And it's not only voiced by Robert Picardo, but also weirdly looks like Robert Picardo.
Yeah, it's a robot Picardo.
Robot Picardo.
It's sort of like Robert Picardo crossed with Howdy Doody.
Yes.
I mean, it's weird. Two entirely separate things created like an artificial robot Robert Picardo.
Only two?
He was not meant to be human.
Those are the only two I can think of, but he's played the one in what it will soon be 3 different shows.
Yeah.
And a movie. Remember, he's in First Contact for like
30
seconds.
I remember that now.
Yeah, I don't even remember that. Then again, I don't remember much of First Contact. Wait. Which one's First Contact? Oh, no, First Contact.
That's about the Borg. Where they go back in time and James Cromwell's there.
What I remember best is Magic Carpet Ride. Digging that out of my father's CD collection afterwards.
Anyway, what is interesting in the speaking, we had McAdams in the last episode, and this episode brings us another weird UK comics thing for the first time.
Yes!
Rack and Ruin.
Yes! Oh, right.
Those guys.
I love them.
The weird two-headed Autobot Wrecker.
Yes.
Conjoined twin robot thingy that, well, they made a toy of them that transforms, but does he ever transform in the show?
I don't know that he does, but there's not a ton of
again, as I said earlier, I did I did recently read the Aligned novels, they show up in the third one, and it's just very, like, I don't know, it's kind of everybody's just sort of weirdly ableist towards them, and I don't care for it. Just Wreck or Ruin or whichever you are. It's like, come on, have some sympathy. Because in that context, they were actually just two different guys who got, like, merged in a horrifying shockwave experiment.
Oh.
Which is like, okay, now you need to be nice to these people. I personally like to think that they are just a branch spark like Topspin and Twin Twist that just did not separate all the way.
Apparently that is what they are supposed to be in this.
Yes, and do not have, like, horrible trauma that you should really be more understanding about. This is just how they are.
Yeah, no, they're just like a weird two-headed guy.
Yes. Well, I mean, they're, I don't know, because they do have the same voice. They do the whole, like, finish each other's sentences thing, but it does really feel like they're supposed to be, like, just two conjoined guys.
Right.
Yeah. Like, their pronoun would be plural they, you know?
As posed to the two-headed seeker we saw in a previous flashback.
Yeah.
Which Shockwave was making.
Yes.
Yes.
Which is a little more like, I don't know. Well, I mean, we don't know too much about that story.
Yeah, I don't think we see that guy again.
But like that one pretender. Weird. Is that Doublehead? Right,
Doubleheader.
Yeah. Where that's clearly just one guy with two heads.
Yes. Although he only had one head in his robot form, which I always thought was weird.
Yes. So that was super weird.
Wasn't it like he was just a normal robot guy, but when he was in the shell, he had two personalities or something?
Something like that. And then I think they did something vaguely similar with Double Cross, the pretender, or the monster dragon guy with two heads.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, in the original UK stuff, Rack and Ruin is not like, you know, it's just, they're just like that. He or they.
Yeah. They're just.
Man, now I need. Because I did just reread City of Fear and Legion of the Lost, because of course I did, because those toys just came out. But I don't recall what pronouns they use for Rack and Ruin, so now I need to go look at that again. But anyway, the point is, they're great. I like them a lot. The aligned novels do them kind of weird.
And there's. You know, so B gets caught in the act. Ratchet calls him a traitor in a line that I thought was unusually stilted.
Yeah. Well.
Which, that kind of works since
it is a fake memory.
This is true.
Shockwave made up.
The bad acting lends itself to that.
And while all this is going on, Windblade is fighting the Slipstream and her various seekers, as per usual.
So many seekers.
Shockwave has also hacked the ship to fly to the Decepticon base. Well,
yes,
a base.
It's just like a hangar somewhere.
Yeah.
It's just like, why do they have a hangar?
They really need to give these seekers some sort of personality.
Yeah.
Other than Slipstream, it's because there's just so many of them in this show. Slipstream and Starscream are the only ones that have a personality so far.
You just need to give them like a weird voice or something.
Yeah. Just give one of them a quirk.
Like, if you give, like, one of them, like, a really thick Brooklyn accent, that's half the battle.
There you go. G1 understood this. Wally Burr.
So I think it's one of the female ones. She could sound like Natasha Lyonne.
Yes. Mm. Wally Burr understood this.
Exactly. Old actor impressions, goofy accents.
This would have made GoBots so much better.
Yes.
Half the time, a new random GoBot character shows up for an episode, and it's just Frank Welker doing a normal Frank Welker voice.
Hey, it's Freddy.
Occasionally, it's Peter Cullen.
G-Gang.
But, you know, a new Transformer shows up. It's a guy doing, like, a Peter Lorre impression. Or he sounds like a weird hippie or something. Or he sounds like...
He's got Tourette's.
Sounds like Jim Backus from Gilligan's Island.
There are so many new accents that have happened since then. Where's like, Willem Dafoe accent or... I don't know.
I don't know if I recognize Willem Dafoe. I feel that actors these days are less easy to impersonate.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Christopher Walken. That's what I mean. Brain went sideways.
I mean, you definitely should just have a guy who sounds like Christopher. Exactly. But again, Christopher Walken is like 80 years old.
Yeah.
Cinnamon, how have you not gotten tired of meowing into the mic? Come on.
But he wasn't around really in the 80s to do an impression of him then.
No, this is true. Walken's, well, like I said, I don't know, 85, he was in a Bond
around,
movie.
Yes.
Missed the Bond.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
I'm getting quite sick of your antics.
He would have probably been too recent. It would have been weird.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you know, you didn't see anybody doing, like, I don't know, Prince impersonations or anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you know, give me some goofy accents, something, anything.
Yeah, but like Rack and Ruin, which sidetracked us, is high and then bye because he gets distracted to go fix something in the engine room while Bumblebee is killing.
It is really cool.
I think he's
going
to show up later. He did get a toy.
It is really cool that they get to be in stuff. They don't get like a storyline or anything, but they're definitely around for the series.
Doesn't he get like a storyline in an alternate timeline or something in a later episode?
Oh, that's going to come up at some point. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Right now, B, he is on trial.
And the prosecutor is Grimlock.
Yes. Because
he's so smart.
Sure. I'm
constantly... We need this guy to create some technobots or something and get dumb again.
Yeah, I'm constantly confused but amused by the mid-Atlantic Frasier Grimlock.
Yeah.
It's a weird take, but it's memorable.
Yeah, so B escapes, but eventually he is chased down by Optimus Prime. But oh, surprise, Optimus Prime is also a secret Decepticon.
How dumb are you, Shockwave? Your fanfic is horrible.
Yeah, and Bumblebee finally realizes, wait, this is stupid.
He obviously doesn't understand how people work, because if he did, he would be better at being Windblade.
Yeah, like, anybody else other than Optimus and stupid B with memory loss might have bought it.
Yeah. Like it was, I don't know, evil Prowl or something. We'd buy that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just normal Prowl.
Well, eviler Prowl.
Not just a cab Prowl, but like actual right. Evil Prowl.
So yeah, he's like, wait, this is dumb. You're making this whole thing up. And indeed, Shockwave is all, well, you got me, but guess what? Windblade's going to die unless you tell me where the Ark is.
Due
forgetting
to your
that
illogical faith in Optimus Prime caused you to see through me. Which I
think that's, in fact, logical.
Yeah, that seems like, of all the people you would want to have faith
correct.
In, it would be Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, come on. Look at him.
What also, if he's a secret Decepticon, then absolutely nothing makes sense.
No!
Like, why would you shoot the Allspark into space and not, you know, like, have
Megatron
ready there to grab it or something?
Yes, Shockwave failed to see the fallacy in his fanfic, and Bumblebee saw through it. Bumblebee left comments.
Or maybe Shockwave also remembers the flashback from last episode when Optimus and Megatron were out on a date.
They were totally on a date.
Because he was there.
Listen, this thing's getting like all sorts of downvotes on AO3. It's a total loss.
Yeah.
Optimus was writing a speech for Megatron.
Yeah.
That's just an excuse to go out on a date. Anyway. Yeah, so things fall apart, but Bumblebee unplugs himself and just... Windblade tells him, remember the big shiny red button I told you not to push?
Push it.
Push it hard.
So that shiny is indeed the self-destruct. Button. So he gets off.
Jumps out the window because the windshield's
away.
All broken.
Phrasing.
Yes. And so the ship blows up. And so now, you know, they have escaped, but they don't have a ship anymore. So they're going to have to hoof it.
Hmm.
So that is where we leave them, and that is it for this episode and this duo of Cyberverse episodes. This one again has some interesting ideas. It's too short to actually do anything with them,
yeah.
And it does not have a ton of plot.
Yeah, like I said, this particular the second episode, you could have just cut it entirely. The first episode with McAdams establishes a bunch of stuff that comes up more once we get into the second season, but hey, Deadlock is there. He's defecting.
Yeah. All right. And are we taking a journey to Prismos this time?
No. I was busy taking a journey to taking a camping trip, so I did not have time to compile a proper report, but we will get back to at least wrap that up.
Was Jonathan Harris there?
I wish. Jonathan Harris was on the episode of Freakazoid that MeTV tuned the show last night, though.
hey, weren't you on a show with a robot?
Yes. Yes. So, yes, I will return to wrap that up in the near future, but not this week.
All right, so in that case, that does it for us for this week. We'll be back next week with more Transformers Cyberverse. Until then, you can find us all over the internet. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we are on Mastodon, and we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses. That is at patreon.com/iaconunderground. For September, we decided to be timely and view the G1 episode War Dawn to take a look at the not actually that untold at all story of the beginning of the war. And also so I could talk about aerial bots for my birthday. For October, we're going to do something spooky. I think we have just prior to in the pre-show discussion, I think we came up with some ideas for that.
Yes. Some terrifying ideas.
A show that we have not actually touched on yet for any
That's
of
right.
our Patreon or our regular series. So
yeah.
It's definitely part of the whole nerd culture milieu that I am not as up on or as enthusiastic about as a lot of people I know. So that's going to be, I'm sure I watched this when it first came out because I didn't have anything better to do after school. I don't think it was on like opposite Exo Squad or anything. Yeah, I will be interested to hear people with more in-depth knowledge of this particular subject, by which I mean David will be the one with in-depth knowledge of this particular subject.
Okay.
And actually, I feel like
did I ever watch a full episode?
You never watched a full episode?
I'm not sure.
Like, not even when it was on?
Maybe? we will get to
that. Well, in that case, I guess I'm going to have to be the expert because I watched it religiously for the first three seasons.
Mm. Oh. So are we going to reveal it, or are we going to let people guess from...
We can let people guess. It's weird and vague, but they might be able to guess. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I'm
a little younger than you guys, so I was in the exact demographic for this one.
We want, do want people to pay money to listen to these episodes, so we are going to be watching an episode of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Yes. We are going to watch the one with Pumpkin Wrapper.
That's right.
I will say that...
Because if you're going to watch an episode...
My best friend in high school was named Billy, and we, all of our friends group, gave him at least some kind of Blue Ranger merchandise for that Christmas. That was a big deal. So, also, like the Blue Rangers actor, he turned out to be gay, so hey. Also on the nose.
Oh, there you go.
So, yes, it's really, so is this from the season with Trini, or is this after they replaced things a little bit?
Is it after? I don't even.
It's
from the ZU 2 footage, which it was the footage that was made specifically for America, not original. Was Trini still there? Maybe, I don't remember.
It is the one with the whole original cast.
Okay, good. So it's just going to be me being sad about Trini.
Plus the Green Ranger.
Also sad about the Green Ranger. Man!
Oh, man.
And then that Red Ranger, isn't that the one who's like...
Did he go to jail for something? But he's not the guy who killed somebody.
No, the guy that killed someone is from like 5 or 10 seasons from now. The Red Ranger just turned out to recently, in the past few years, be a massive asshole.
Was it like a crypto scam or something that he was involved
something
with?
Something weird.
I think he's definitely like into alt-right stuff, I want to say.
Yeah, maybe.
The
that
main thing is he had his name is Austin St. John, so I'm pretty sure he was also an 80s porn star.
I mean, that would make sense.
I mean, I wouldn't put... So, yes. It probably has been a Power Ranger who went into porn.
Because it's Halloween, we will be watching the episode with the pumpkin wrapper.
That's right. Trick or Treat.
Yes. Appropriate
Which
for Halloween.
Which inexplicably first aired in May.
So the season that had the first Zoid, the first Megazoid, or the second one with the red dragon one?
Well, A, for starters, they're Zords, not Zoids.
Okay, right. Zords. I had a toy of the red dragon Thunder Zord because I thought it looked cool.
And B, you won't find out because the Zords are not in this episode.
What? I'm not watching an episode that doesn't have Zords in it. I would often tune in just to the last 10 minutes of the episode because all I wanted to see was the robots fighting because I was 14 or 15 and I was very cool. I just wanted to see the robots. So yeah, that is going to be our Patreon for October.
That's right.
So that is patreon.com/iaconunderground.
Well, apparently you can get the pumpkin wrapper on Amazon for 30% right now. And my internet is fucking up.
Tell it to behave. We can hear you okay, so.
Yes.
Okay, because you were going robot voice on me. And my internet just was
screaming. Kitten has now
Amazon.
Decided it's time to take a nap on my laundry, so that's cool. It's Cinnamon. He's fine. He just likes to yell. He's a seal point.
Oh, and the pig! Pudgy pig is on sale!
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Pumpkin
wrapper
fuck.
Was at Ollie's last year.
But
there may still be one, like at my Ollie's. Anyway.
What the pig? His hands come out of his mouth.
But does he rap?
Probably in one of the later seasons? I don't know. They brought him back a few times.
I mean, obviously the pumpkin wrapper, rapping is so integral to his villainy that he is the pumpkin wrapper.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, yes, wrap up episode stuff, things, Discord.
LOL.
Blue sky now. We're moving over there.
Yes.
That's right.
But also, if you go to iaconunderground.net, there's a link to our Discord. You can come and join us and talk more about tokusatsu with other people, because I don't tokusatsu that much. But everyone else seems to.
No, we watch stuff on the weekends. I don't know. Well, it's been a little bumpy lately. We're about to wrap up an Ultraman series in a few weeks, and we're in the middle of Sun Vulcan.
Ooh.
The series that is, or was, technically owned by Marvel, or half-owned.
Excelsior!
Yeah, it was the weird, like, they wanted to bring it over, they just never did. It's, I don't know, it was strange. Something Stan Lee had an idea of that went nowhere.
Alright, so, until next time, when we meet Teletran X, and witness the power of the Matrix of Leadership... I'm Rob.
I'm Jen, and I don't have the touch or the power.
And I'm David. All y'all, it's the end of the episode.
So no, y'all, sabotage!
That's all for me.